bio-friendly podcast. It's a bio-friendly podcast.
The thing about Fishbone is they had that thing going that was inspired by Parliament Funkadelic, Mr. George
Absolutely.
Clinton. That hit a whole slew of young bands in the 80s.
Yes.
That totally shaped music in a secret way.
Yes.
That I think still affects music today.
It does.
You would be the one who would be the one to talk to about this.
Right.
Mr. Jacob Givens.
Mm.
I feel like that kind of influence they threw into bands like the Red Hot Chili Peppers and like Fishbone.
The funk. Absolutely.
You see that in music everywhere. Not as prominently.
No, not
at
all.
But it definitely changed how people groove.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it added that importance to like pop needs to have a little bit of stank in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
it make people just sit there and go, you know, we want the funk.
We want the funk.
Gotta have that funk.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, 100%. Because, look, people loved the funk in the 70s. They did, and they loved it through the 80s. Like, the funk was beautiful, right?
That's the funk in his
birthplace.
Yeah.
But I do think that it took... Well, I mean, the most prominent was probably the Chili Peppers.
I would say the pop rock that added in funk.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What was the other folks? God, the Faith No More.
Faith No More. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. They often got comparisons side by side.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like it took that kind of sliver, like. It was a taste kind of style of music for people, and then brought it mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then I think even kind of incorporated it. How many did it?
Good.
Thank you.
He's got the funk going.
He was just queuing up the next horn strike.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's great.
I don't know. I do feel like that. Like even with even punk rock.
Yeah, that's
started throwing
yeah.
some like being
that's
like
ska.
Pop punk, right?
Ska.
That's absolutely. Right.
You had some of the
beach punk you get was pretty
funk and
pretty
horns,
funky.
And once you bring it with that punk mentality, that's where we get the whole
Boston's.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
The whole
I love the Boston.
Scene, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it
God.
Is fascinating.
Yeah, but it is kind of cool to see how different. Unique styles of music do find their way.
Yeah. And I think it's probably what you figure out along the way is that it's always like, what did your parents show you when you were a kid?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
totally.
A lot of these kids, if you're growing up in a house and you're like in a neighborhood where everybody's playing punk, but your parents are playing you know, George Clinton or whatever, or some kind of funky jazz or it's in there. It's in your brain. So you can't help but reach for it.
Just
when you're writing
the other
music.
Night, man, I blew my kids' minds by giving them a Parliament Funkadelic dinner. I was literally we are listening to Parliament during dinner. And they're like, Dad, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not.
I made P-Funk All-Star and I'm not going to apologize.
You did it because you watched PCU or clips from it, didn't you? You
were watching. Oh God, I love that movie so much.
So he was looking for clips, and he dug
you
into PCU.
George Clinton to the party.
That was such a hell of a moment.
Yeah.
Oh God, gutter.
George Clinton, there's a legend.
God, absolutely.
There's one of those people who. There's one of those people who in the veins of music people like yourself.
Yeah.
Is like foundational.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I think so.
Guy was a legend.
I think so. Isn't the hook in Snoop Doggy's Doggy Dog is from his song?
That's right. That's right. That's right. Nothing but a dog in me.
So a lot of people borrow from George Clinton.
God, that guy.
Take
a little bit of listen.
He's still around, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still around.
Yeah, he's a genius.
All it takes is a little bit of LSD, and you too
can be George Clinton.
Can be George Clinton. No, you cannot.
Love. Take that back.
And all you need is love.
Love. Yes.
Strawberries.
And David.
And David.
As said, the Beatles in Lucy in the Sky
with
Diamonds.
Which the original lyrics were love with strawberries with David. Yeah. It just didn't flow as well.
It just didn't flow. So like, well, how about Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
Yeah, and then they went
out.
Love strawberries and David.
It just didn't roll.
So then they moved and put it in Strawberry Fields forever.
Forever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So they could at least talk about strawberries.
And their agent was named David.
And they're like,
David.
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 Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
David.
How are you guys doing?
How odd must it be if you're if someone says, "Hey, you got to listen to this environmental podcast. Check it out."
Yeah.
So
it's been on for 5 years.
It's 5 years, and we get random new listeners all the time.
And the title is leading you to this is going to be educational. Mm-hmm. The summary is this looks like these guys know what they're talking about.
Right.
And they turn it on, and they're sitting there, and they're looking at their car stereo, and they're going, "This said it was about." They're talking about P-Funk. They're talking about George Clinton. They're
Parliament
talking about
Ska. Funkadelic.
What are they? What is this about?
Did he say beach punk?
Yeah, did he say beach? What's happening? I am.
Faith
I need,
no more?
I need science. And these guys are giving it to me.
Oh, we're bringing the science. Funk.
Yeah, we are.
We might need to add that as a tag. Bring in the science of funk.
Oh, that's it.
Oh,
I got
there it.
It's
really
good. Bring in the science
bring
of
in the
funk.
Science
it's on the list.
Of funk.
Of funk. Yeah. My God. Yeah, no, just that someone was told by a friend or found it on
oh, you should check
Google
out
or whatever. It's like,
podcast.
Oh, if you want to get like environmental information, but it's just kind of like it's easy to consume and funny and fun. You got to check this guys
check
out. They're really good.
Out.
They're really good. It's really good, and it's good. The science is good. The guys are pretty.
They're
pretty
really smart. They goof around
from time to time, but it's a good environmental show.
Yes,
it's a good. It's a show about the environment for sure. And they get on, and it's got me boning.
And if you stay with them long enough, you'll hear an episode where they retire the show and then just never go away.
And then
we literally cancel the show.
They spend four episodes gearing up to how this will never air again. And then 2 weeks later, they're back.
The problem is you've misheard it. It's not a good environmental show. It's a good show environment to be in.
It's a good environment for a show.
That's right.
That's working out. It's a great environment. Very positive.
Well,
environment.
And also that we've had our audience waiting for this show that we've been talking about forever.
Oh, yeah.
And it is it's funny to us. It's probably horrifying to them.
Yeah, they're like, when is this going to happen?
So we have this show that we've even recorded episodes of. Recorded. I can't talk.
You're
today.
Great. You're doing
let's,
great.
Let's,
we're all very
work,
proud
let's
of you.
Work on our radio voice, Noel.
We're all
there
proud
you
of
go.
You.
There we go. Now we're starting to enunciate.
Yeah, we're back.
Okay.
Now we're back.
We promised a television show and have even been recording and developing the television show. We have two episodes of it in the can.
We do.
Completed.
And several more that are on the way. Mm. But
flying to DC soon to film the third one.
Yep,
that's exactly. Right. But we've delivered nothing.
Yeah,
to the audience.
Absolutely,
like, they were expecting something. We've delivered nothing. Yeah. And I suppose this is as good a moment as any to give an update.
Yeah, let's give an update. That's a good idea.
So the show is. I hate when we do this. The show's too good.
It's too good. It's too good for mainstream.
The show's too good. Yeah. No, it's really good. It's really good. It's going to end up probably on a larger platform than we originally
I think so
thought
something like that. We just didn't want to waste it on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that bad?
Is that hurt your feelings?
Awful?
I feel like I'm
not
being
you.
I feel
no.
like
no.
I'm
not
being
the royal
listening.
Sitting next to you.
I'm not talking about the
not
person.
Not the royal you. You specifically.
I'm not talking.
Not you.
Yeah. Not you. But
I'm talking
you.
To you. You're in your car listening to this. I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not. We don't want you to hear it. We don't want you to see it. No.
No. We're kidding. Of course. We want you to see it. But we just realized we're like, if we're gonna do this, we got to do it by the book.
The problem. The problem is the show is too dang. It's really great. It's really great.
And it needs to have longer legs and further reach, and it needs to get as many in front of as many people as possible.
So we're shopping it.
Well, we took basically Russell Brand's idea, and we went right to Rumble. So guys, find it with Sean Hannity and Russell Brand.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, we're going directly to X.
Yeah,
there it is.
We're going to X. It's going to be the first X broadcast channel series.
Yes, yes. No, we're talking to big boys.
Yeah, we're trying to talk to people with big pants on.
Yeah, big pants on. Uh-huh.
Big pants.
And so.
So straight to MC
that
Hammer.
Has, the good news on that is that the podcast will continue.
Yeah, we're going to keep doing the show.
The bad news is we get so loaded with work that the podcast does not have the consistency it once had, although we are committed to fixing that.
We're trying.
Yes. Yeah, we have a situation where we're not going to see each other for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
And yet still...
We're going to try to...
We're going to record extra podcasts so that we can deliver the goods, because we know that you guys love us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We love you too. Mm. And so we're gonna bring it. We're going to bring the noise, bring the
Let's
funk.
Do it. Let's do it. Mm. So shall we get into the first subject after our nice little tangential opening?
Let's dive right in, baby.
I guess that's what we do.
That's what we do. Let's get into it. So here comes what you tune in for. More ska and funk talk.
Yeah. We want the funk.
Gotta have that funk.
Oh, we want the funk.
This is kind of a funky topic. It's very funky.
Segway.
The title of this article is New Wave Reactor Technology Could Kickstart a Nuclear Renaissance, and the U.S. is banking on it.
Oh, God, I hope this is true.
Yeah.
So
this
funky.
Is very, very interesting. So
oh, God, I hope this is true, but so I think it's a lie.
Do you think so?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Let me set it up for you. Okay. So here, this is the story time.
Okay.
Off the Siberian coast, not far from Alaska, a Russian ship has been docked at port for 4 years.
4 years.
4 years?
4 years.
A Russian ship?
Russian ship.
Russia.
You know, the Russian Brady Bunch.
Russia.
The Atomic Lomonosov, the world's first floating nuclear power plant, sends energy to 200,000 people on land using next wave nuclear technology. And this is called a small modular reactor. Have
yes,
you ever
sir.
Heard of this?
Yes, sir.
A SMR.
This is something that your good friend and my brother has been begging for.
Small.
For years.
Yeah. Mm.
Every one of these battleships, submarines, freaking aircraft carriers
have their own these nuclear reactors.
Monsters have these nuclear reactors, and they retire the ship long before the nuclear reactor is done.
Yeah.
And they can use those nuclear reactors, and you've essentially have a mobile power plant that can power cities.
Yeah.
Man.
That can run around from place to place to place. And Mike has been screaming from the rooftops about this.
Yeah.
Half the time I go with him to different conferences and stuff. He's talking to everybody about this. It's like, why don't we do this? Because it pisses him off. Because like, why are you are decommissioning these ships that still have a really practical use? Particularly you look at natural disasters that happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
When you've got a whole like oceanside community, because a lot of times that's where the natural disasters are occurring.
Yep. Right.
And they've got no power and they've got no help. Like, why, like, put freaking red crosses on these battleships, on these aircraft carriers, turn them into help vessels.
Yeah.
And send them in.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
It's a really good
great idea.
Yeah. So this technology is also being used below sea level, primarily. That's what you said.
Yeah.
Dozens of U.S. submarines lurking in the depths of the world's oceans are propelled by SMRs, as the compact reactors are known.
Yep.
SMRs, which are smaller and less costly to build than traditional large-scale reactors, are fast becoming the next great hope for nuclear renaissance as the world scrambles to cut fossil fuels.
Do you know why?
Why?
Why, Noel? Why?
Why?
Because the United States government... There's a great joke in... Is it Contact, I think, is the movie? It's so
with
it's,
Jodie Foster, where she...
What's the one where they build the gigantic spinning...
Yeah,
the
Contact.
That's Contact,
Contact
right?
Yeah. Great
okay.
movie.
Where they get it and then and it blows up. And the, and the scene, I'm sorry if it's a spoiler for anyone who wanted to watch the movie, but...
Well, it's been 30 years.
The thing, if you haven't watched it by now. Yeah, the giant machine that they made blows up, and they're like, oh my God, we're all going to die. It's over.
Yeah.
Right? And then the guy goes, well, what?
Yeah.
Like, it's an old government rule. Why build one when you can have two for twice as much?
I remember that scene.
And then they go
they
to the
always
other
build
one.
Two.
That's right.
And they
one
go to the other
is
one
none.
They,
yes. That's what you say in the proper part.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. So the problem with nuclear reactors... It's the thing that kills nuclear energy more than anything else is that each one is custom built, basically. Because by the time they make another, they've commissioned a new one, there's a bunch of new technology. And
that's
so an
right.
engineer goes in and is like, no, we got to do it like this.
It's a bespoke thing.
Yeah. It's a whole nightmare to try to get every single one of those live.
Right.
The thing that's wonderful about these little modular ones is that they were commissioned by the United States government to put into all the submarines, to put into all the battleships, right?
Smokes.
So what you've done is you've created something that is meant to be repeatably created. So
gotcha.
It's far less. Hey, come on! No, it's come okay. In. This is part of our.
We don't
part
mind.
Of our show is the interruption of a
we
thing.
We don't mind
so
a package delivery in the middle of a podcast.
And it's Nespresso too.
Yeah, we got
which
our
we needed,
guys. We got Nespressos.
We got a new set. We're doing a TV show now. So this is for the background
for the listeners at home.
Yeah, well, this was the podcast. So
a UPS man just walked in and delivered Nespresso.
Hey, it's good to see you again. Have a good one.
Good work.
Yeah, right, thanks, thank you, man. You too.
This is great. I was worried we wouldn't have our coffee, but now we have our coffee. Yeah. Yeah. That is what used to happen on the OG. If you've been around since the beginning, we would let that happen all the time. Phone calls, people coming in. You know,
that's how you know the show is real, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how you know it's live.
No cuts. No cuts.
No cuts.
Live to tape.
Live.
Anyway, you were saying commission, SMR.
Yes. Because it was intended to be put in many, 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 many places, the government made a repeatable nuclear reactor.
It's like the Henry Ford.
Give me that sentence again, but George Gaines from Punky Brewster. And
because
many
the brother. Government wanted to have lots of them in one place, they made many, 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 many nuclear reactors.
Thank you. I heard three manys in a row, and I was like, there's one actor who delivered manys in the best way ever, and that was George Gaines, and how much we loved him.
Mahoney.
Many, many,
Punky
many.
Brewster's dad and Commandant Lasard.
Yes,
the two greatest characters possibly ever.
Yes.
I mean, right there with
Hamlet.
He
had two jobs. And he nailed them both.
I mean, that's Macbeth level character that he's played.
Many times.
Yeah.
When I go to the
scene
gym,
where he's getting in the as he's giving the speech to the entire
priceless.
Mahoney's hiding. I gotta tell this story because everybody's gotta know. If you're watching Police Academy,
we're gonna censor it a little bit.
No,
just the phrasing.
Just the phrasing. So I'll try to be better about it. Yeah. Okay, so in the show Police Academy, Mahoney is trying to get a prostitute away because he doesn't want to get in trouble.
He's trying to hide her. Because it was a prank. He was pulling a prank on one of his
fellow... But then he's caught. Oh, my God. Everybody's coming into this conference, and he still got her. Somehow he's in the conference room with the prostitute.
Right.
So he's like, shh, come with me. And he hides her underneath the podium. There are two of them are together in the podium.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So Commandant Lasard is making a speech in front of everybody in this conference room, right?
And this and lady
like,
of the night.
There's 300 people who are watching Commandant Lasard make the speech. And the lady of the night, she sees pants in front of her.
And she assumes this is the
This is the job. But she has not yet performed the action that she normally is hired to do.
Right.
So he's there. And she's like, oh, that's why I'm
here. That's why I've been hired
today. So she does the right thing. So in the speech, he's like, and it's one of the more hilarious moments.
It's fantastic.
But the punchline of the joke, and I hate to ruin a movie,
this 40 years
40
later.
If you haven't seen Police Academy, the punchline of this joke, it is one of the best jokes of all time.
Everybody in the entire place clears out.
Clears out, and Commandant Lasard is kind of like sitting there in front of him, and he finally gets up, shakes it off, and he walks away, and then he realizes, I just
experienced something.
Had the experience. So he turns around and looks back, and of course, it's not the prostitute who steps out and waves. It's the other person with her, which is Mahoney.
Steve Guttenberg.
So Steve Guttenberg pulls his head out the thing. He looks at the commandant. The commandant looks back at him, and he gives him a little wave, like, there you go. And the commandant turns around, and he has this kind of like, how do I feel about this?
Mahoney looks at him in the eye, sticks up his thumb, and
thumbs up.
And he goes, great speech.
Great speech. That's what it is. Great
and
speech.
And he goes right back in. And it's one of the best jokes of that entire film.
Great speech.
Great speech.
Oh, God.
So good. So we'll have to figure out how we air that on the show. But
I'll just air it.
Just air.
It's going to go over the kids' heads.
You're
right.
You're right.
As you cut out the word, we're set.
God dang it. Here's another one. All right. That's 1840.
So you had just said many, 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 many in George Gaines.
You've got an inexpensive reactor.
Yeah.
And you've got a portable reactor.
Yeah.
And no, it's not as big as the one that you know, the gigantic ones that remind me of her.
Yes.
another great movie.
These are small.
Yeah. But they create a lot of power.
Yeah.
And if you're not using it to power the rest of the ship, if that thing's docked, boy, you could, whoo-wee.
Yeah.
You can really help the situation.
Yeah. So the U.S., Russia, and China are battling for dominance to build and sell them. They're
we've got the designs.
Yeah.
Go.
It says Biden administration and American companies are plowing billions of dollars into SMRs in a bid for business and global influence.
Yeah.
China's leading in nuclear technology and construction, and Russia is making almost all the world's SMR fuel. It says the U.S. is playing catch up on both. There's no mystery behind why the U.S. wants it on, why they want in on the market. It already kind of lost the wind and solar energy race to China, which now provides most of the world's solar panels and wind turbines.
And by the way,
yeah,
that is our own damn fault.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. We're slow to it.
Who do you know? It's so much more embarrassing than that.
See, this is why this is the good stuff. This is the Noel reads the news, and I do not.
Right.
I'm reading Beetle Bailey in the back of the comics while he's reading the front page.
Beetle Bailey.
I'm reading Heathcliff, knockoff Garfield, and he's like, I'll read the news.
Which country do you think developed photovoltaic cells?
USA.
Yeah.
USA.
Who do you think developed turbines powered by wind?
USA.
USA.
Who do you think were the first ones to use these practically in their country?
China.
No.
USA. We use it first.
Yeah. Who do you think decided the smartest move is to build them somewhere else?
The USA.
USA.
Oh boy, there we go.
Who do you think?
USA. Oh, wow. So we took the manufacturing and we're like, you know what? Let's do it cheaper.
We don't want to build them here. It's too expensive. There's too many regulations. Wow. There's unions. It's too hard.
Come into the coast. Have a few
What did they do? They sent it over to China.
Yeah.
And what did China...
Well, that's a really good idea.
If you were China, what would you do?
I would take those plans and go,
this would be really good for us,
guys. Good idea.
How do I mass produce this in a way that helps us more than them?
Yeah.
How do I take this technology and advance it while they're sitting there getting fat on what we're selling back to them?
Right. Yeah. And in our trade horrible things where we make people have no wages.
Who do you think is leading in battery technology right now?
China.
Who do you think developed battery technology?
USA.
Who do you think develops every single new advanced battery?
USA.
Who do you think is going to win the battery war?
China.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Man. We're dropping that tea on this podcast.
Yeah, and it's
wow.
Look, we recognize it now and we're starting to do more to combat that. Like the CHIPS Act was sort of like the first middle finger to China to say.
The CHIPS Act, as in like Eric Estrada and that guy who played John?
Uh-huh. That's right. Okay. When the government forced everyone to only watch CHIPS 24 hours a day, you guys know the law.
I remember that time.
You were there. Yes. No. The CHIPS Act to make sure that we're building microchips here in the United States.
Oh, that CHIPS.
Yes, those CHIPS.
Good.
That is the first middle finger to China from the United States to say, we finally realized that you're kicking our butt because we're letting you.
Right, and we come up with the stuff, and then you guys go, I could do it better.
Yeah. So there's now new regulations being put in place. Well, specifically for that, but that is growing where we're forcing companies to build a percentage of their stuff here.
Okay, good.
We have to. If we don't, then we're done. We're done.
Yeah.
So it's, hopefully there's something that's going to change that for the US. But in the meantime, go China. You cannot blame somebody for taking advantage of their situation.
No, of course.
Yeah. It says, and I want to know if you knew about this, because it says one of the big problems that we have is it says the US hasn't managed to get an SMR working commercially on land.
Yeah.
So we're able to get them working on these boats, but get them working on land we haven't been able to do yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's they're making that up to sound like a problem.
Okay,
but it's just that's a matter of attention and effort.
Yeah,
if only we had smart people called engineers that could actually make something
that happen. That's
not even the issue.
They can fix that. They just have to want to.
Yeah.
Right. Because look, every problem is difficult, particularly when you're dealing with a nuclear reactor.
Right.
I'm not going to say it's not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But they can fix that. If there's a desire, that's the thing that I'm interested in. Is there truly a desire? Because if there's truly desire to do that in the United States, then it changes everything.
Well, apparently they are pouring billions of dollars into this, aren't they, Jakey? Like in the United States.
Tell me.
Absolutely. So it says, I got to find that part about the billions of dollars. Do you remember where it was?
Punky. Many.
Vamp.
This is how we vamp. Yeah. Well, I've got two guys reading articles, flipping papers, back and forth. In the meantime, I'm going to tell you about why I don't prefer nachos.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. You don't like nachos?
I don't prefer nachos.
Oh, I that's surprising.
That's a surprising thing,
surprising.
Right? Because nachos are pure flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do not like them.
Same, I am.
Jinx.
Oh.
I'll say your name, Noel.
Thank you. Okay. It's
tough like
to,
a podcast.
It's tough to do a podcast.
You can't jinx
somebody. I'm
going
to owe you a lot of Cokes. I owe you one just for my grunt. I'm like, oh.
Can you imagine?
I said, I owe you a lot of Cokes. Wait a minute. My job's to talk, and I'm jinxed.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
oh
brutal.
My gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, you were saying
don't prefer nachos. Don't. Actually, it's worse than that.
Okay.
I don't like nachos.
You don't like
You know that the cheese is too much.
Oh, that's why. I don't know why I didn't put that together because I know you're not a big cheese fan.
Yeah, I love the concept of nachos. Yeah. I love this idea that you're going to take chips and you're going to throw a bunch of queso on them and you're going to melt it and then you're going to throw in like whatever.
Yeah.
Tomatoes and onions and
yeah.
garlic and whatever the heck else you want to put on your nachos today.
Yeah.
You know, cilantro. But conceptually, I get it, but
it's the cheese.
I would actually prefer, like, okay, I'll tell you what. When they do dessert nachos, like with chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate instead of cheese.
Chocolate nachos.
You'd be all about
chocolate
that.
Chocolate nachos are playing this Friday at the El Rey. Yeah, they really
are. It says here, sorry.
Yeah, no. Oh, the show? We got
to
do it?
The show. We're going back to this. Yeah. The Biden administration and American companies are plowing billions of dollars into SMRs
big
for business and global influence, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, so we have earmarked, the United States government has earmarked $72 million to its international SMR program known as FIRST to provide countries with a whole suite of tools from workshops to engineering and feasibility studies to provide them with everything they need to buy an SMR fleet made in America. But bigger money is coming in form of loans from state financial institutions like the U.S. Export-Import Bank and its International Development Finance Corporation, which have offered up $3 billion and $1 billion, respectively.
It's not a lot of money, to be honest.
It's so funny. It's so funny because, I mean, look, that's definitely a start. It's definitely a start, and you'll definitely get a lot going that way. But, yeah, I mean, look, I guess that's the beginning. If they start to find that it works, they'll probably pour more into it. And also, corporate money will get into it if they see dollars.
And so plus, everybody was so gun shy because of Chernobyl as well as the Fukushima thing that happened in 2011.
Yeah. And it says
zero
that
humans died.
These fears.
Zero humans died because of the nuclear. Sorry.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It says decades old fears over the safety of nuclear are starting to fade. And people, or their governments at least, are weighing the benefits against the risks, including the problem of storing radioactive waste, which can remain dangerous for thousands of years. But they're starting to figure out better ways to do this, and then the SMRs help that problem because it's smaller.
I have such an irresponsible thought about nuclear waste, and I don't think we should do it the way that the Bill Carroll of me would want to do it.
Okay,
that's
okay.
A quote to my dad. Go Pops! Okay.
Go Pops! But
Pops is just like solve the problem. Go. Right?
Yeah.
So the Bill Carroll solution, which I would never
shit it to the moon.
Agreed to, but that I part of me is like, huh? Yeah, shoot him into the sun.
Yeah.
Shoot it into the sun.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, I was joking. I said shoot it to the moon, but shoot it into the sun. Yeah. Just let it go and burn up.
Yeah.
I mean, it can handle it.
I mean,
it's its own.
It's not gonna cause the sun a problem.
Yeah,
I don't believe. But the reason that I say I don't know, is because I figure that is maybe something you'd want to test before you accidentally.
right. It goes crashing into Mercury, and suddenly Mercury is like, uh-oh.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny because the sun is so massive and the nuclear waste is so small, and you've got to. A gigantic fusion reactor up there anyway. It's going to just destroy
it. It'll be basically disintegrated within, I don't know, 1,000 miles before it gets into the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine it would not be a problem. And I think that's probably what I would do with nuclear waste.
There was one case study. It was in the late 1980s. Mm-hmm. And there was this guy, son of Durrell.
Yeah.
He took all the nuclear warheads.
Cal. Yeah.
Yes, oh, yeah. He flew.
I call it Cal. Is it Call or Cal? I always mispronounce Cal.
I always mispronounce it. So yeah. I just kind of am like
Mr. L.
Yes, Mr. Yeah. L. Yeah. But he flew all the nuclear warheads out and threw them into the sun to solve the arms race.
Okay. Mm.
And so
that was that the fourth documentary?
It was the fourth documentary. And when that happened, when it landed into the sun,
is that where Gene Hackman turned himself into a?
Yes. And so what happened was in that case study, the sun was fine.
Oh.
It was fine.
Well.
But it spawned a sun like villain
that
had like blonde hair and looked like a Pantene Pro V commercial. Mm-hmm. And he came out and he had Gene Hackman's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he like came after our friend Cal.
Yeah.
And he was like,
beat you up with my muscles.
And the only time that he was weak was when he was in the shade.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
that
a
makes
great,
sense.
That's
when,
a great
he was, when he was in the sun, he had all the power.
Very powerful.
But all Cal had to do was just like throw like an umbrella over him. Yeah. And he was immediately like, and so that was the one case
at
study.
At nighttime, I am useless.
So I actually think that.
So did he then throw him into the sun?
Yeah. In the end, I think he went back in the sun. Okay. So what I'm trying to say to you is I think that your concern is we should test it. It has been tested.
It's been done.
So
what am I worried about?
I don't think we need to be worried about
anything. The documentary
anything.
Is done.
The documentary is done. The evidence is there. Throw the
evidence
the
is
in f-ing reactors. Damn it.
Oh. All right. There's my other one.
Get that nuclear waste out of here.
Get it out of here.
Let's do it.
And hey, bringing it back to funk, man, that's the Chili Peppers, Behind the Sun.
Oh, that's right.
Early Chili Peppers.
Yeah. So there you go. That's. I mean, look, man, I'm on board. I'm on board. Yeah. I think we got to make these SMRs. I think it's a good solution.
Yeah.
I think we got to make it happen.
We need all of the SMRs, or the ASMRs.
ASMRs.
If you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because those, yeah.
So I think that people who listen to the show know that we're in support. It's a good way to solve a lot of our emissions problem really quickly,
yeah.
Really, really fast. You
know
if
we
mean?
Literally can just generate power out of just nuclear energy everywhere.
Yeah.
That would be good, but then we got to start launching stuff in the sun.
Yeah. Which we're ready. I'm ready.
I'm ready for it.
I'm ready for it.
I'm game for it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was pretty good.
I mean, it's. I still think that it's the quickest way to make a green planet is to enable nuclear. I think it's certainly part of the solution.
Hey, quick question.
Yeah.
When it comes to Mike Carroll's idea and all the nuclear reactors that are on these incredible submarines and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
First of all, how much nuclear waste is there for each one of those? And what did they do with it, I wonder?
It's less than you would think. It's less than you would think. You get so much power. Man, you get so much power. I'll tell you what. I don't want to give an inaccurate number. And what I want to do is give you like something that can be conceptualized, like how much in size as compared to, you know, waste you get from from coal or from even just like the carbon waste from even natural gas.
Okay.
So let me put that together for you.
Let's put a pin in it and come back to it. Let's circle back, okay?
Can we circle back to that?
We're gonna circle back to that. Well, the only reason I'm kind of giving us this like, hey, we cover the subject good enough. Yeah,
I was Googling.
Clayton's already trying to
Google. Here's the problem. The thing that's great about Google is you'll get half of an answer. I want a very specific piece of information that I want to gather. Yeah.
You got to call your nuclear guy. You know, guy.
He's got a guy.
And then in a submarine.
His name is Cal.
Put it together in a Null Ruins the Show style.
Yes.
I want to give it to people so they get it forever.
Yeah. Really lay it on thick.
I want to give it to them
so bad. But the only reason I'm wrapping up is because our goal here today is to be very productive and knock out a couple of these.
You guys get them every week. Hey, look how long have we been at this?
We've been at this for 33 minutes so
that's
far.
That's a podcast.
That's a podcast right there.
A freaking podcast.
Half ridiculous, half educational.
that's what we're asking. That's what we're asking for.
They had to sit through 10, 15 minutes of just nonsense, and then they get to the
Excuse me. What I find is that the first 10 or 15 is always the non-nonsense.
Yes. Right. And then once we
the
get to
the science is like blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah.
All the sense.
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
Annoying.
Show drives me crazy.
Yeah.
That's a podcast. So we're gonna say thank you for continuing to support the BioFriendly podcast that has been on for 200 years, 201 now. Now that we're in 2024, and we are thankful for you. We're glad you enjoy our ridiculous things about funk and ska and beach punk and all that stuff, all the way to small modular reactors.
If we had a small modular reactor off the coast of LA, I would totally call it the beach funk.
Yeah.
Just SS Beach Funk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, just bring
the power.
On
that bad boy.
Bring in the power to LA.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woof. Woof.
Woo. Got this feeling. Ding, 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 ding. Got this feeling. Got this feeling.
We
from the ocean. Yeah, it's all right.
Are your beacon of light in a gloomy environment.
When you see that's wrong. The dumbest, smartest podcast in existence.
When you see an episode, be excited, because we've been busy up here.
Bringing the science.
We'll see you next time.
Nice. Well done, everybody.
I'm back.
It's the Bio-Friendly Podcast. It's the Bio-Friendly Podcast.